Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 452, entitled Exploring Folio Blocks, Michael Campanella's WordPress Gallery Plugin for Photographers. It was published on Thursday, the 15th of January, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping just before we begin. The first thing to mention is that if you're listening to this podcast, no doubt you are into WordPress in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps you're a user of the CMS. Perhaps you're a plugin developer, or you've got some other skin in the game. You work for a hosting company or something like that. Well, if you are somebody who might benefit from being out in front of our WordPress-specific audience, I am looking for sponsors to keep the podcast lights on. Head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. And if you want to get into a conversation about that, email me, admin@wpbuilds.com, and we'll see if we can figure out some way to get your product or service discovered in the year 2026. We do have a pretty large WordPress-specific audience, and many companies in the past have taken us up on this offer and found it to be, well, worthwhile. Let's just put it that way. Once more, my email, admin@wpbuilds.com and wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Michael Campanella. He's got a brand new product in the WordPress space. It's a plugin called Folio Blocks, and the idea is that it's going to up your WordPress photography game by displaying your photos in all sorts of interesting ways. We start off by sort of getting into the background, what Michael's position is in the WordPress space, how long he's been doing it and so on. And then the motivation. Why did he build Folio Blocks? What was the whole point of it? And then we talk about how it differs from other things that you may have seen. There is quite a lot in here, actually. And having had a poke around, there's a lot of credible new stuff. It's got all the things that you might expect. So, for example, masonry galleries, video galleries, image carousels and things like that. But also a few interesting novel features as well. And so I won't hold you up. We'll get stuck straight into the podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Michael Campanella. Hello, Michael.
How are you doing, Nathan?
Yeah, pleasure really good. Michael has been very gracious with his time. A few weeks ago, he reached out to me and wanted to show me a fantastic new plugin that he's got. It's called Folio Blocks. And I'm just going to suggest that you go and have a play around with it. So if you go to folioblocks.com, F-O-L-I-O, and then blocks, all as one word, .com, have a poke around. You'll have a far better idea, because we're going to try and talk today about something which is mostly visual. So, you're going to have to forgive us. We're going to try our best, but it's a gallery plugin, I think we could summarize it as, and it's got lots of bells and whistles. It uses the block editor. And the reason I said Michael's been very giving of his time is because he's just spent about half an hour showing me around the plugin. And so hopefully I've got a much greater understanding of how it works and hopefully ask all the right questions and what have you. Before we get into that, though, Michael, can you just tell us a little bit about you? Whatever you like, really. But I guess if you stick to the WordPress story, that's probably a good idea.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I should say that I am a professional photographer. I shoot a lot of sports photography here in Sweden, as well as what you would classify as like news and editorial. And beyond that, I've always been a bit of like a computer geek, have a tough time keeping my hands off computers. And I've always loved web design and making websites. I think the first time I made a website was, you know, back when GeoCities was a thing. Yeah. So that might date me a bit. I started using WordPress around probably 2006, 2007, you know, it's fairly new. And I used it mostly to manage my own website, my photography website. And I've always followed WordPress since then. So, you know, back then I had created my own theme, writing HTML, CSS, completely custom theme. And now I've kind of pushed to the next level and gone all in on developing a plugin and building for the block editor, which adds a ton more complexity.
No kidding. I bet you've React had a real fun journey. The interesting bit about what you said there, though, for my part anyway, was the fact that you're a photographer. So this, despite the fact that, as you're going to find out as we listen to this, it's a really credible plugin. The fact that you're a photographer, I guess, means that you really know what a plugin like this kind of requires. It's not like you're a web developer and kind of try to think what somebody who's a professional photographer might want in a plugin. You're actually living and breathing this, and so you've thought of all the different angles. And there really is a load in here. So I think that's really interesting. You know, there's a difference there. There is a there, the fact that you're a photographer.
Yeah, I think that might have been the, you know, the biggest underlying factor in developing this plugin, is I really just struggled to find something that I wanted to use, and struggled to find something that I felt really also took advantage of the block editor. Yeah. And took advantage of all of like the more advanced features available in the block editor. So I really wanted to build something that, you know, one, took advantage of just what modern WordPress is and can be, and then two, checked all of the check boxes that I had as a photographer.
Yeah. So what's really interesting is, if you go back into the day, let's say we go back, I don't know, 6-7 years or something like that, prior to the block editor having widespread adoption, the kind of thing that you would have had is a plugin where you'd go into this completely separate UI and you'd set up some settings and you'd hope that when you finally pasted the shortcode in, it matched. Yeah. But there'd just be this complete disconnect. You do a thing over here, save it, go to here, look at it, and hope that it works. And, you know, I guess some things are better at that
exactly
than others. But the great thing about what you've got is, well, what the block editor affords is the fact that you really do get basically the exact same thing on the back end as you do on the front end. So as you're building out your galleries, and as, I don't know, you're adding margins between the images, that kind of thing, or borders or border radius, it's right there in front of you. You can see exactly what's going to come out on the front end. Just the mere fact that that's available in modern WordPress is such a leg up for something like this, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that was always the promise of, you know, of Gutenberg and the block editor, was to little by little bring it to a point where, you know, the editing experience matches the front end experience. And that's also, you know, you mentioned shortcodes. I kind of feel like when you have plugins in 2025 where they're asking you to paste in a shortcode into the block editor, you know, I kind of feel like you blew it. You know, you missed the plot.
Well, especially when the whole point of the plugin is to do something visual, which is entirely what yours is.
I know. So that was, you know, one of the big goals was to, you know, create a plugin where, you know, there's visual parity between the editor and the front end, and feature parity between the two, because pretty much everything works in parallel, you know, the way it does on the front end.
I always enjoyed a plugin that does a thing, and it does a thing well. And by that, what I mean is, you know, it's all very well having the I don't know, the giant plugin that does everything. But it's kind of a bit jack of all trades, master of none, as we say. You know,
exactly.
it has a stab at all the things. And so, you know, a gallery might be one of the things that this suite of blocks does. But it's, you know, it's not the thing that it does, whereas this is the thing that you do. And so the question that I was asking myself at the beginning before we hit record was kind of like, you know, before I got to see what you'd got, how would this differ from the default solution that you've got? And I don't know if anybody listening to this has tried the default WordPress gallery. It's a gallery. That's it. You know, it's a gallery. It's got a few options, but it doesn't allow you the granularity of what you've got. And so once again, I'm staring at the screen at the minute. So I've got folioblocks.com on the website, and it, right off the bat, we can see that there's a whole different variety of layouts that you've got. I guess that's probably where we should begin. So I'll just go through the list, and then we can dig into how each of those might differ. And then maybe towards the end, we could get into the settings of you know, the different things that you can do with each of those. So we've got a before and after. I don't know if that needs much explanation, but anyway, we'll carry on. Carousel, grid gallery, justified gallery, masonry gallery, modular gallery. That's the cool one. Or at least I think that's the cool one. And video gallery. So let's take them one at a time. Before and after, what does that do?
So the before and after block is one of the simpler blocks, and it's just kind of meant for people doing retouching work or maybe someone who's working in restoration that wants to show a before and after. And it's just, you have your before image and your after image, and you have a slider, and you can just slide between the two of them. So yeah. It's a very simple block, and just, it's what kind of meant to round out, you know, the plugin as a whole.
Yeah, maybe we should have started there.
You know, honestly, but anyway, the meat and bones are the galleries, I would say.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go for, let's start with our carousel gallery. Let's begin there. I'm sure people probably know what that does. So
the carousel gallery is a standard carousel gallery that, you know, displays large images, filling up most of the viewport and letting you swipe or, you know, slide with your keyboard to the next image.
What's really nice though is buried in there is a little setting which you showed me just a moment ago, where if you've got a, let's say that your target audience is likely to be on a mobile device, you may want landscape images to sort of say to be of secondary importance. You may want portrait images, so the taller ones to feature. Yeah. So you've got a whole setting in there which enables you to say, okay, I want portrait ones to be the thing, and then everything else sort of like maps around those. It's kind of hard to explain, but do you want to just sort of go into that little setting? Because I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I thought that maybe there would be scenarios where people might want to make a gallery where they're only using vertical images. There's certain, you know, branches of photography work where most of the work tends to be shot vertically. You know, for example, a runway photographer who shoots, you know, Vogue and these big, you know, brands, all of that stuff is shot vertical. You know, you have a vertical shot model walking towards you, filling up the entire frame. So I thought it would be good to have a setting to kind of address that, where if the carousel is made up strictly of vertical images, the responsive settings on it would optimize, you know, to fill the screen vertically rather than based on width, right? So whereas, you know, if you're in the normal setting, it resizes to ensure that horizontally the entire image is contained on screen.
Yep.
When you put it in the other mode, it resizes it so that vertically it's pretty much filling up the screen.
Yeah, and I guess if you've got a mixture of mostly vertical but one or two horizontal, then that is where that will become obvious.
Exactly. Whereas, I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really meant for those scenarios where, you know, maybe you just, it's a gallery of portraits and
you're just picking one. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I would say if it's kind of a blended thing, then most likely you're going to want to keep the default setting on.
Okay. 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 And then let's capture these next three in one sort of hit, because I think a lot of people are kind of in their head have these as very similar things. So we've got grid, we've got justified, and we've got masonry. So basically this is trying to fill up your screen with images, but the way that they kind of tile together and the topology of it, if that's not too weird of a word, kind of works so that, I don't know, they either align perfectly horizontally, so there's a line between them all, or they might sort of map like Roman tiles in a mosaic or something, some bigger than others and what have you. So just go through how they differ and what have you.
Sure. So the grid gallery is, you know, a standard grid, and it just lines up all of the images, you know, in columns and rows, evenly distributed. Whereas the justified gallery is what they call the Flickr layout. And it basically creates rows of images where the row is filled in edge to edge. So the images are resized to a height that allows you to fill the row completely. You know, so maybe your target row height is 250 pixels, you know, but when it does the calculations, it finds that, you know, 247.5 pixel height is the height that fills the row completely, you know. So it basically works off of that and gives you, you know, equal height images that fill the row edge to edge. And then the last one is the masonry, and that's just kind of the standard waterfall layout that was made popular by Pinterest and things like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm sure everybody has seen that all over the place.
Okay, and I'm going to leave my favorite to last. So we've got two left, and we'll do video next. I don't know that I've necessarily seen much in the way of video galleries, so this is kind of interesting. But yeah, just tell us what that does.
Yeah, so the video gallery kind of started out because I have a lot of friends who work as cinematographers, and I know that they always have a need for a gallery to showcase video work that gives them the ability to filter it by genre. So maybe, you know, someone who's a director of photography, he might have, you know, short films, he might have commercials, music videos, feature lengths. So it just kind of started from that idea. And, you know, it's a standard grid gallery where you can create video blocks. It accepts videos that are self-hosted as well as from YouTube and Vimeo. And then it plays them in a light box, and it has options for, you know, sorting them. It also has options for connecting them to a WooCommerce store, so you can connect them with products that you're selling. And yeah, and then the video, as I said, the videos play in a nice light box.
Okay, right. And then the last one, and then after we've done this last one, we'll get into why this is different, why Folio sure. Blocks is different from all the other solutions that you've seen. So this is the last one, the modular gallery. This is really cool. I've not actually seen this, and it really leverages rows and stacks that we've got in WordPress already. So yeah, tell us about this.
Yeah, so the modular gallery is, I had an idea where I wanted to create a gallery that tried to address, you know, I wanted to create a gallery that gave the photographer the ability to kind of give visual priority to certain images in the gallery, you know, because with other galleries, if you're using a justified gallery or if you're using a masonry gallery, they really tend to favor a certain kind of image. Like on a masonry gallery, a vertical image is going to be larger, it's going to be more prominent. So I wanted a gallery where you as the photographer, you as the creator could kind of give that precedence. And I played around with a whole lot of different things. And at first I wanted to try and make something that I called a bento gallery.
Yeah, I get that.
And, you know, and then from that, I've kind of came around to this system that I have now. And basically what I did is that, you know, since WordPress has this concept of rows and stacks, I borrowed that and I created my own version. So what you have is image rows and then image stacks. And basically the modular gallery works by images placed inside a row always fill up the row completely. If you have one image, it expands and fills the entire width of the row. If you add a second image into the row, the image is resized so they match in height and they fill out the row completely. And in this, you can also then add a stack. And a stack lets you stack one or two or three images on top of one another and is treated by the row as a single unit, right? So by doing that, you can take, for example, like three horizontal images, put them in a stack and stick it next to a big square image. And you'll end up with a layout where the square image is going to take precedent and be really big. And the images in the stack will be much smaller.
Yeah.
So it really just kind of opens the door for letting you as the photographer, as the creator, play around and give visual priority to the image you want by pairing it with a certain order of other images.
Like all the others, I think they're much easier to get your head around in an audio podcast like this because you get the idea. You pull the block into the canvas. You then go to the media library and tick, 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 tick. You select 15 images and you click go. And basically some maths happens and there it is. But this one's different because this one you have to kind of build out yourself because every time you do it, it's probably going to end up slightly different because of the images that you've selected. So you don't go tick, 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 tick. My modular gallery is done for me. This is, okay, insert an image, then another one, put that in a row, see how that looks. And so this is more iterative and there's a little bit more labor involved. Yeah. But as a result, you can get something really, really cool. And so the parent container for that, if you like, is a row. And if you keep adding images into the row, they go horizontal. But then children of that can be a stack. And obviously a stack is what it says it is. You can put things on top of each other. So you can then have two images next to each other and then three images next to those two images that are all the same height. And in that way, you can really, honestly, I think you can have days of fun with this. Yeah, it's brilliant, brilliantly done, but a little bit more labor intensive. You got to kind of build these ones manually.
you have to play around.
Yep.
You have to do it an image at a time, where the other galleries, you can just take like, you know, 30, 50 images and just throw them in. This one, you got to go one at a time and just kind of build it up. But it opens a lot of possibilities. And it's a lot of fun. And it's also something that back in the day, like, you know, in a pre-block editor world, like if you wanted to lay out something like that in a blog post, it's just very complicated.
Basically impossible. We've kind of made it sound like modular gallery is like hard work or something, but it's really not. And I am anticipating that you can't actually go wrong with it. It's not like you could throw things in there and it wouldn't work. It's more, it might not be the configuration that you want, in which case you drag the individual images in the list view to the left size of Gutenberg. We'll get into that in a minute. You just reposition them, pull them out of the stack, put them in the row, and eventually you'll get an approximation of what you want. So
I mean, it's very easy to use. I think you know the toughest thing is when someone hasn't had an introduction to it, you know, and they're just kind of starting from blank. But I think when someone's described it to you, or if you've like read, you know, the tutorial that we have on the website, then the concept is fairly easy to follow.
Yeah. And if you're familiar with Gutenberg, hopefully most of the audience at this point are, it is basically a series of blocks with children in it. And the children are either images or videos, or in the case of the modular one, these sort of containers which wrap around those images. So you go into the blog post, let's go with that example, and you invoke the inserter where all the blocks live, the paragraph, the headings and all of that. But there's a whole section of these, what is it, about 10 or so blocks that you've got. You drag those in, and then the minute you drag those in, it begins asking you questions. You know, there's like a wizard to go through. Okay, so you've dragged in the grid gallery. Then what images do you want to put in? And you select them from the media library, and, you know, you're off to the races. So it's bespoke blocks, which are the parents, and then the images all sit inside it as children. And so if you want to reposition them, you just drag them, move them up, move them down, and so on and so forth, just as you would do in Gutenberg. But you're not using the core image block. And why was that? Why did you decide to, well, I know the reason, but tell us the reason why you decided not to go with the core image block.
So I played around with a lot of different configurations. You know, the original version, I think Masonry was the first one that was built. The original version of that actually had no inner blocks. It was just, everything was contained inside.
Oh, just in the block itself, just flat structure. You know, okay, interesting.
And then you would open, there would be like an edit button which you could hit, and it would open a window and you could rearrange things and then save it. But that kind of just felt so basic.
Yeah.
So when I started to build the grid gallery, I challenged myself to, let me try and do this with inner blocks. And the first attempt was to use the core blocks, but there I had a tough time hiding certain settings that I didn't want accessible. And like, for example, one thing is that the core image blocks have this aspect ratio picker where you can, it will take the image and it'll just crop it to an aspect ratio. And I didn't want that there, because I felt like the photographer has decided what the image is.
Right.
You shouldn't take this aspect ratio and butcher it.
Yeah.
So my plan was that I would hide it, that when the image block was used inside my block, you know, that was not going to be accessible. But I had a hard time doing that. And so I started looking at creating my own block. And that was ultimately, I think, a fantastic decision, because it just really opened up the door to doing anything I wanted and configuring it exactly the way I wanted it to be.
So they appear in the block editor just like an image block. You know, it's got the little icon. It gets nested underneath the parent container, whichever of your blocks you've dropped in. But it is one of your bespoke blocks. And each time you go into it, as a result, you've been able to sort of leverage the block editor to add a bunch of settings into that. So depending on which gallery or, yeah, well, we'll go with gallery. I suppose the only one that's not called gallery is before and after. But when you drop that in, you can either change the settings on the image block itself, or where most of the fun lies, I think, is probably going into the parent container, the gallery, the grid gallery, the carousel gallery, the justified gallery. That's where most of the settings are. Mm-hmm. We are never going to cover all of the settings, but it just to say that you can imagine the kind of fun stuff that you would want to do. So you might want to put a border around each of the images. You might want to add some border radius. You might want to change the background color of the, you know, the container that the images are sitting in and so on. All of that can be done, but there's a bunch of interesting stuff that you've built in terms of taxonomy and filtering and also being able to sell things and all of that. So let's pick out the, let's do the taxonomy bit first. What have you built there?
Sure. Yeah, so the three principal galleries, which are grid justified, or four principal galleries, sorry, is a grid justified masonry and video gallery.
Yeah, video, yeah.
Those are all filterable. So you have a setting to enable gallery filtering on the parent block. And once you've turned that on, you have a little input that allows you to enter keywords. So you just basically enter your keywords separated by commas. And once you've done that, you can go on the children blocks and they will have a select input where you can just select one of those keywords and apply it to the image.
It's so, really, you know, elegantly done that. I don't know if you, like you, because you built it, you're probably unaware of how elegant that is. It's really elegant. So on the parent container, you just type in a list of comma separated words. And as you're typing them in, they appear above the gallery as buttons. So if you start to type in, I don't know, horses, and then put a comma, and then type in polar bears, and then put a comma, these become, these immediately in the block editor appear as filters. And then you go into the individual image and say, oh, this is a polar bear, this is a horse, and on you go. So there's just almost no work required. It's beautifully done. I got to say, that was clever. I think you've done that really, yeah, really nicely.
Yeah, I put a lot of effort into it. And
yep.
That was always one of the big features that, you know, right from the start, I knew like the galleries have to have this gallery filtering ability because it just makes them so much more useful.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
you know, if you want to showcase your work and your work is very broad, then having the ability to let people sort out a certain thing, you know, sport or fashion or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think the implementation of it is so straightforward. You know, you add a comma separated list and you're done basically, and then just go and decide which images are gonna, yeah, you know, fit under there. It's just nice seeing it happen in real time as opposed to, okay, what are my categories? Save that somewhere else, then go back to this thing and apply the filters to the individual images. It's all happening in the same interface. And not only that, you get to see it happening right in front of your eyes, which is really, really cool. So that was the filtering. What else was in there that you thought was interesting?
The other big one is the WooCommerce integration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Neat.
And that works fairly similarly, where on the parent block, you enable WooCommerce integration. And once you have done that on the individual image blocks or video blocks, you can link them to a product in a WooCommerce store. So you have to have the products already made on your site, but then you can just search for the product, whatever it is, and link that image to the product.
So you might, for example, have, I don't know, A4 image, $50 or something like that as,
exactly,
as a WooCommerce product. You've created that in WooCommerce, and then you just invoke, I want WooCommerce available for every one of these images. And then you just go through one at a time and say, that's the A4 one, that's the A4 one, that's the A4 one. And it's not like one size fits all. Like in a gallery, you can have some that you sell and some that you don't, or at least that's what I took from it.
Yeah.
You don't have to sell them all. So half of them could be, I don't know, just there as
images.
Images, but the others are available to download. Yeah. And presumably when you click the little cart icon, which either appears on hover, depending on how you got it set up, or it's there all the time, then it takes you off to the WooCommerce product page for it.
It'll add it to your cart right away.
Yeah, that's really neat. Okay. Anything else in the settings for those blocks that you think was curious?
Then the other big one is the image downloads, I think.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Giving the ability, if you just, you know, maybe you shot an event for someone and you want to let them just download the site, whatever they want, from your website. So it's really easy. You just enable image downloads and then the image blocks get a little download icon next to them that you can also toggle if you want to display it always or display it on hover. And you just click and you download the original source.
Is it possible? I didn't see this, so this is me just sort of pontificating. Is it possible to sort of download all? So let's say, for example...
Not at the moment.
No.
That's a good 1.5 feature.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I don't know, if you had been my photographer at my wedding, for example, I think it's highly likely that whatever the heck you'd clicked... I want them all, and then I'll, you know, once they're on my computer, I'll decide which ones are going in the photo frame in the hall kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the ability to just sort of say, I'll have them all. Thank you very much. Might be interesting. But yeah, in your case, I guess it makes sense to have built it that way, and then you can go off in other directions. Obviously, you know, it does a whole bunch of other stuff, the sort of visual stuff on the front end, the ability to kind of, you know, change, like I said, change the background images, put borders around them, create spacing between them, all of that kind of stuff. The stuff you'd expect from an image gallery, it does that to perfection. I think, have we about covered everything? Do you think we've kind of got
there? I think people have a good idea of what it
can do. Yeah, definitely. Sadly, the audio medium is not the best for something like this. So I'm going to encourage you one more time. If you head to folioblocks.com, one thing that we didn't mention, which we probably should, two things, in fact. Let's first of all tackle the pricing. How much is this? Do you have a free version? Is it paid only? And tell us about your plans. So caveat emptor, they may change. They may go up, they may go down.
So there is right now a free version available in the WordPress plugin repository, and that basically is all of the blocks with the exception of the modular gallery only available in the paid one. But a lot of the features have been also turned off in the free version. Mm. So the gallery filtering, the WooCommerce integration, image downloads, those are all available in the pro version. The free version basically has the blocks and a light box available, and then settings for responsive design. And then there is a pro version available, which adds the modular block and unlocks all of the features. And it's available on a single site license for $49.99.
Yep.
At the moment.
So I've clicked on the pricing page. You've got $49.99, which is called individual. That's one site. And then it's a per site license kind of thing. The next one is business, which is up to five sites. And then if you want six sites, you're going straight to agency, which is 1,000. I love the psychology of pricing in WordPress. It's so interesting trying to figure out what that should be. And so one site, five sites, and 1,000 sites. You mentioned that you're a photographer, but one of the questions that I always like to ask of people like you is, how are you intending to support this? What's the ways that people are going to, you know, if they run into a problem with it or they want to communicate with you, how are they going to do that? And what's your sort of turnaround time on support?
So right now, if people need support, there is a support email address for the paid version, and normally answer within 24 hours. And then also there is the support forum on the WordPress plugin repository, which is available.
Nice. So once again, folioblocks.com, go check it out. You're going to immediately pick up a ton more than we were able to describe. But it was very nice meeting you, Michael, really great product. If you're into images, it's a really credible way of displaying them on your WordPress website. So go check it out. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Nathan. Have a lovely day.
Okay, that's all we've got for you today. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com. Leave us a comment there. We would really love it. The best way to do it probably is to go there, search for episode number 452, scroll to the bottom and leave us a comment. We would love that. I love it when I get a notification to say that a comment has popped up. It makes me very happy. The other thing to mention, as I said, we're looking for new sponsors in 2026. Give us an email, admin@wpbuilds.com, or head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. We are a really credible way of getting your product or service out in front of a WordPress specific audience. Okay, we'll be back on Monday live for This Week in WordPress. We'll put that out as a podcast on Tuesday, and then we'll have another podcast next Thursday. That's a bit like what you're listening to now. So I hope that you enjoyed it. You stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.